things of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, for those of you who remember on Sunday when we were talking about unity and oneness in the body of Christ, how that in the time now that we're living, in the time of restoration, how God is now beginning to call out a people who will return and come back under the banner and headship of the Lord Jesus Christ, who are coming out of religion and bondage, who desire to walk totally by faith, trusting and looking to the Lord. And also, not only with that, but coming again under the anointed, pure word of God, so that we can start to grow and mature. And we're also very aware in the times of restoration that we're in, that God is also restoring the ministry in Ephesians 4, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, for the maturing and perfecting of ministry and the saints. This is a process that is going on now around the world. And God doesn't have to advertise this. God is working very often behind scenes, and we're seeing very much that the church now in the last days is returning back into the homes. That is where it originally started, and it may well be is where it's going to return before the Lord Jesus comes for his bride to take her home. So these are the things that we're looking at, but we need to be set into this, baptized by the Holy Spirit, set into the unity and oneness where we willingly surrender to that unity and oneness so that God can do that work through all of us. And this, of course, is the work. We're all the same. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Whatever your ministry, we are called, baptized into the body of Christ to minister with the gift and gifts that God is giving to us. We know that in the body of Christ that's being restored, God is again delivering from this clergy and laity idea, where somehow you can be a part-time Christian and a full-time Christian. You cannot get that out of Scripture. That is what denominationalism has invented. But God is doing away with these things so that we all function and minister together as the Holy Spirit leads. But we're going to just turn to familiar scriptures to just start again in this, in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 1 to 3 of Ephesians 4, of which the Apostle Paul is speaking about the believers walking in true unity and oneness. And in this he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." So each of us, we see quite clearly here, has a calling on our lives. It's not just a calling to a teacher or an apostle or whatever it is. Everyone who is set in the true body of Christ, baptized into the unity and oneness, has a calling on their life. And he says, "With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love." And that's that agape love. So there we see with this calling that God is working within our lives, in our characters. He's working that lowliness, that gentleness, that long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Because without love, there cannot be any building, there cannot be any unity and oneness Without love, it is completely contrary to the nature and heart of Almighty God. So we see that we are willing, if we're disciples of Christ, to surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit so that he can accomplish and work the fruits of the Spirit in our life. And he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In other words, because I'm set into it, I am a part of it. Therefore, my life is dependent on the body of Christ, its unity and oneness. I endeavor, in other words, I work at it, I stay with it, whatever the trials, whatever the situations, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that is always a clear sign of a mature Christian who is growing in Christ, because he or she loves the body of Christ. Why do we love it? Because Christ is present where two or three are gathered together in his name. That is why we like it. It's not about our ministry. It's not about what I am trying to establish. We come first and foremost because of Jesus. That is the motive and the reason for our fellowship. Without that, there is no true fellowship. Sadly, today we have got so many ministries and ministers who are in ministry for the wrong reason and the wrong motive. There's very little insight today about the body of Jesus, the true body of Christ. There's very little real experience of what really the body of Christ is. And that is why we have to be called out from among them. We have to be set apart. We have to come away from all of these things where there's religion, man-made things, so that we are available, open for the Holy Spirit to begin to work and move through us and join us with other believers of like mind and heart and spirit. Remember that the body of Christ is not an organization, it is an organism, living, function. It is alive with the headship of Christ. Christ ministering by his Spirit through each and every one of us as we're moved by the Spirit. And so we see clearly in these last days, as the Lord now is beginning to restore his true body, we see very clearly in Ephesians 4 the work that God is beginning to do. And that is why Paul opens up with this, how this will be achieved. And we see in verse 13 where he says this, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We are living in the times of restoration. We're being reconciled to Christ. He's bringing us back to what it should have been. This is what he's doing with us. He's restoring and bringing us back to what the true body of Christ should be, its function and ministry in the world. Sadly, this has been lost through many centuries, through believers having lost the power and baptism of the Holy Spirit, people doing their own thing, building their own ministry, very little consideration about the glory of God, the will of God. But he's bringing us back now where we're only interested in the will of God being achieved and accomplished through each of us and through the body of Christ. There is a desire, a commitment to that. And only the Holy Spirit is the one who is restoring and building his church. That's why none of us dare touch this. This is a holy work for a holy God and a holy people separated unto him in these last days, what he's beginning to do in the times of restoration. He's bringing us back to what we should be. And he's doing that right now. You see, the church ceased to be spiritual and it left the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It started to become self-seeking and interested in developing its own organization. But here we see that Paul speaks here of not only seeing Christ individually, but collectively. So we're being restored back not only to minister, each of us, but we're being restored back to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, being brought back under his banner, under the blood of the Lamb, which is your covering, and not a man. And so because he's doing this, we begin to experience, each of us, a relationship, a living relationship with the living, risen Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a bringing back of fellowship where we're looking to the past, how the church used to be and the revivals and so on. There's so many that I meet who talk about what happened, about revivals of the past. Well, what God is trying to say today, live today with what Christ is doing. Are you experiencing him today? Or do you always keep looking back or looking back to history, what God did a few years ago or 100 years ago? We need to start to get ready to see the God of now, today, what he's doing and what he will do through you and I. We have a great commission that is set upon us to proclaim the good news of the gospel, to go out and share this good news to a dying world, but not only that, to reveal the power of God, where we're being trained, ready, and we're called in which to minister, to lay hands on the sick that they may recover, to lay hands on them that they may receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues, to cast out those demons, and yes, to raise the dead. That is your calling and ministry. It's not just for one man or one person or an evangelist. It is the body functioning with the various gifts that God gives to each of us as we're led by the Spirit. This is what's being restored. And this is why he gives the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. These ministries are for all of us. This is the very purpose of it. You see, we're not here to develop a spiritual life on our own. You cannot have a spiritual life on your own and do your own thing. This is where heretics are born. This is where people go off. We are brought together in unity and oneness so that we can all be taught. And if any of us have taken in wrong teaching or veered off, then the love and unity of the body of Christ can help to encourage us, to restore us back, so that we can be fully looking to the Lord Jesus. That's what also the body of Christ is about, to help us, to protect us, to keep us together, walking in unity and oneness, so that our discernment is just not one person discerning, but the whole body discerning. So that we all share, praying, interceding, praying for one another. We all need this. Even I need this as a pastor. I need your prayers and intercessions. I need you to pray for the word. Because as I said so many, many times, we go as far as you pray for the word ministries. For those who are giving this living bread out week after week. but also we pray for other ministries. Well, there are ministries of prayers, intercessors that God sets in the body of Christ. There are some who may have the gifts of healing. We need to get behind those ministries who go out and lay hands on the sick that they may recover. We need to get in prayer, intercession, and warfare for them. Because do you think the enemy is going to stand back and let this all happen? No way. We're not up against flesh and blood. We're up against powers and principalities and dominions. This is why our warfare is not against flesh and blood. This is why Jesus said, "My house is a house of prayer." It is a house of prayer because we intercede, we pray, and we pray one for another. This is why it's important if the Lord is moving you alongside, maybe to your neighbor or somebody at work, and you're beginning to share the gospel, then you need backup, you need prayer for that. Because you're battling against the powers of darkness who are not going to let this happen. Very often, God sometimes gets me up early. I'm going to share with you, the Lord got me up at 4 o'clock this morning to intercede and birth this word that I'm preaching to you through tonight. Did I want to get up? No, I didn't. My body said, "You need to stay, you're going to be tired." But I knew what God was saying. And I said, "Lord, you're greater and stronger than my feelings, my emotions. Get me up so I can intercede and birth this word through. Because it's not about me. It's about the body of Christ coming into maturity and perfection." This is where we surrender to the oneness and the unity. It's not about me. We're here tonight, even in this meeting, to serve one another. Even though God is blessing us, that should always be the desire of our heart. And that is why the Holy Spirit is building his church, which includes you. You are part of that building. Your very presence, your very belief, your commitment, your love for Jesus is part of that building set in by the Holy Spirit to come under his headship so that he can lead and guide and anoint, so that we can hear today what the Spirit is saying to the church. How many of our brothers and sisters are really hearing today, now, what the Spirit is saying to the church? With all due respect, it's no good listening to what he was saying 6 months ago. That may be a blessing, but there's something within us that wants to say, "I need to hear today also, Lord, what you're saying." Because we walk each day by faith. He's the God of now, this moment. And we need to come into that experience with Almighty God. And it's there if we want it. So, am I concerned about building the body of Christ? Or am I more concerned about my own needs, my own wants, my own development, and so on? This is why we're encouraged to take up our cross also and follow him. Because the cross that we take up disposes us. It delivers us from self, from what I want to do. The cross really deals with pride. Because God isn't going to have pride in the house of God. Where there is pride, a house of God cannot be built. And this is why we have to bow our knees in his presence and allow him to deliver us from where we think we are in control, I can do it, and so on. There is nothing we can do unless God reveals. There's nothing we can say unless he shows. It all comes from him. This is why we decrease that he increases. We yield over so that the life of Christ can live his life through you and me. He can live his life where he can speak through you, love through you, heal through you, walk through you, and speak through you. That is your unity, your oneness that you will have with him. Of his fullness we have received, which the scriptures say. What does Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 say? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. What does it mean there? It means death to the self-life. Death to my wants, putting myself first, my plans, my will. That's what it means. I willingly surrender that up. The same as we surrender to the unity and the oneness that is found in the body of Christ. So nobody is set in the body trying to build and do their own thing, but that everything is done in harmony and oneness with Christ through each of us manifesting himself to this dying world. That is what we're being restored to, brothers and sisters. And this is why the devil fights this. He fears this because he knows we're being restored and brought back upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and him alone. Now, Philippians 3:10 gives us the clue, because it requires that complete surrender to be totally abandoned on him. And when I want things for myself, or whatever it will be, then relationship with God is started to be distorted and destroyed. Every time I want to do things contrary to God's will, it hinders that relationship that I have with him. Not only that, but it hinders my vision, my goal, my commitment to his body. I'm no longer seeing Jesus Christ. And that is the question, brothers and sisters. Are you tonight, in your commitment, your love for God, do you see Jesus Christ and him only? That is the question. Because otherwise, if I'm not seeing him, my vision becomes shallow. And in the end, I'm only seeing what he has just done for me. There are many, many today only just see what he has done for me, which is, of course, yes, forgiven my sin, cast it away as far as the east is to the west. But do you not want to see more? Do you not want to see more of what he's done and is doing? Do you not want to see the results of the new birth, the new creation that you have? Do you not want to experience him each day in a relationship when you walk with him, yielding yourself over to him? This is what's sorting out the men from the boys. There needs to be growing up in the body of Christ. There are too many babies, and they want to be treated like babies. But God is looking for sons now in the last days, who will mature into the fullness of the faith, so that we come into the true unity in the body of Christ. You see, God himself is not just joy and blessings and peace. All of that, yes, is important, but the body of Christ is about him. Not about me, you, or whatever. It's about him. That is the reason why we gather together. The very reason we have a meeting tonight like this is simply because of him. Nobody else. That's what it's about. And that's why, brothers and sisters, you have a free will, a free choice in this. Whatever decision, whatever choice we take in believing this, will never take God by surprise. Mark my words. What does Jesus say in John 13, verse 13? John 13 and verse 13. You call me teacher and Lord, and you so well, for so I am. Now, the amazing thing about this is, because we have a free will, we can choose, the Lord never insists on having authority over us. Because he says that, that's what you call me, but I don't insist that upon you. He doesn't come back and say, that is what you will do. I will now be master over you. I will now be Lord over you. He doesn't do that. We have a free will. We can choose whether we want him to be master over us and Lord or not. He leaves us perfectly free to choose. The same as every one of us tonight in this room is perfectly free to choose. So free that we can actually crucify him. So free that you can actually blaspheme him. And so on, and criticize him. That's how free you are. However, through the redemption, through the new birth, and his spirit within us, we recognize immediately that he has right, absolute authority over me. I am now his possession. How do we know this? Let's turn to Revelation 4 and verse 11. Through the new birth, through receiving Christ as Lord and Savior, you've now committed, you've given yourself, your life, over to him. I don't belong to myself anymore. And we get a clue of this in Revelation 4 and verse 11. Revelation 4, verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. You belong to him. You are his possession. He created you and I. And that creation was not meant to be a separation from him, to be one with him. But of course, Satan knew that when tempting Eve in the garden. But now you've been restored back to that. That is the wonderful news. The wonderful news is, I'm not my own anymore. I have been brought with a price. I am back with him. I am his possession. I am his purchase. Why do we have a problem with that? Why is that bad news for some people? That is the greatest news that we could ever hear. That we have been purchased by the blood of Jesus, by his life. Brought back. How wonderful. And not only that, but we can have a walk and relationship with him, experience him each day. And not only that, but to be brought in to his body, the body of Christ, to be members with brothers and sisters, a new family, a new future, a new hope, a new vision, a new destiny. This is why the restoration of the body of Christ is so paramount, because God has placed the doorway into the kingdom of God through the body of Christ, because that is our preaching. That is the good news. Declaring, preaching the gospel and the kingdom of God. Until we understand this, we really do not have any gospel. Those people out there who are dying, those people out there in the highways and the byways, they want to hear a good news. They want to hear about a new kingdom, a new life, a new future, a new hope, a resurrection. That's what they want to hear. They don't want to hear about a man's ministry and how he's promoting himself and building his own kingdom. That's what we hear so much today. No, they will respond when they hear, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is soon nigh to come." And he is coming, brothers and sisters, and soon. All the signs are showing us. We know what is happening. Israel's restored now as a nation. We're hearing of wars and rumors of wars. We're seeing the falling away now, the love of many waxing cold. We're seeing the greed of man, the corruption. The cities have become Sodom and Gomorrah. Everything now. You don't have to run somewhere and find a scripture for that. We see it. We know it. We're seeing disease and sickness increasing. We're seeing insanity increasing as demons are being unleashed now. We're seeing demonic activities. The enemy is very, very active. But God is always one step ahead. Hallelujah. So am I measuring my life to this standard? Or is my life being measured up to something else? Only you can answer these questions, brothers and sisters. And the only way we know is when we hear the word of God, and when it's preached, we take it away and we pray, we intercede, we ask God. We ask God to work these things within our lives and hearts. If the Lord convicts us of areas of unbelief, then we know what to do. Lord, help me to believe. Help thou my unbelief. We know what to do. God is more than ready to forgive, to deliver. He wants us to succeed in this far, far more than even we do. And not only that, he's provided for that. He's empowered, he's baptized us in the Holy Spirit so that this can be accomplished and built by the power of his Spirit. And that's why you see every situation each day is a means of obtaining a greater knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're not only going to have a greater knowledge of Jesus Christ tonight, but tomorrow as well if he tarries. Because that's what it's about, by walking with him and being placed in the body of Christ. It's all that I may know him and the power of his glory. And he wants to reveal more and more and more of himself to us. We have to see Jesus in everything. We even have to see Jesus in the washing of the disciples' feet. How many really see Jesus in that act that he did? You see, we can see him in the most menial tasks. Very often that's where God is seen. We're always looking in different directions, in the wrong places. Do I know him where I am today? That's the question. That's why we're left in this world that we may know him. That's why he's left us, and he will bring us home in that right time, because the world is the place where we can learn to know him, to know him fully, so it drops from the head to the heart. See, God never makes a mistake. And this is where true unity comes. What am I here for today? A very good question. Well, we could say I'm here today so that I might come tonight to share with my brothers and sisters and listen to the word of God and to praise God. See him in everything. Get closer to him. Let's finish finally with Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We look at verses 19 to 25. Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope or faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That really is for us in this hour, without doubt. Let's just look at some of it. He says, brethren, which you are, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So he says, having boldness, in other words, don't look for it. You have it. It's graciously given. Now that you're a new creation in Christ, so he has given you that boldness, that access. The scepter is put out to you and I. If it's not put out, we don't have any fellowship. There's no body of Christ. We can't come together. So our coming together, even like a meeting like this tonight, means that we come in that boldness to enter the holiest. What? By the blood of Jesus. This is why we make much of the blood of Jesus, because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and love not our lives unto death. So the blood of Jesus that deals with sin and unbelief gives us that boldness to enter into his presence in unity and oneness, for fellowship, for unity. That boldness, the blood of Jesus, is essential for God's building, for him to build in and through each of us. By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. So his atonement, his sacrifice on the cross, has now provided a new way. It is a new consecration. We no longer have to go through high priests bringing sacrifices, the shedding of blood. We now go through his flesh, his giving up of himself for the body of Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And having a high priest over the house of God, and that is the role he has chosen to place. He didn't just go back and sit on the throne. Well, I've done your will, Father. I'm now going to rest. No, he continues to work on our behalf, praying, interceding, so that it is presented before God the Father. So he's working with us. He's working with us right now, brothers and sisters, as we're together in this room listening to this word. He's working with us as the high priest so that we can do the will of God for his glory. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So it is important how we come into fellowship, how we come together. It is important that we come with the right heart, the right motive, and we come with full assurance of faith, which means that we come with expectancy in our hearts. We come with faith to believe and receive from the Lord. That is what the meetings are about. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. How often does the enemy try to work in our conscience, in our mind? Well, you can't come to the meeting today. You sinned today. You fell really short. What a hypocrite you are. You can't come and share and experience the blessings. Well, that is why the blood of Jesus is there to deal with that if you've truly repented. If you truly sought him and asked for forgiveness. That is what's so wonderful about this. This is the mercy, love and grace of God. And our bodies washed with pure water. This is why the word of God washes us, cleanses us. We have to wash regularly our own bodies. We have to clean our own houses. Well, how much more then spiritually do we need to be washed? How many of our brothers and sisters know of this washing through the pure word of God that they listen to? That's what's so upsetting about all of this. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith or hope without wavering. And there are times we just have to confess and hold on to this, because everything else seems contrary. There are times we experience where it all seems as though it's all falling apart. Can this really be of God? And what does he say? Whatever's happening, however you feel, whatever your experience, whatever the trials you're going through, whatever the enemy may be saying, let us hold fast our confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. We are listening to the faithful one tonight who's encouraging us to believe and hold on. Because there are many, many times that this walk can look so negative. It can look as though God is a million miles away, but he is right there. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That's why we come together. We're considering one another. We're here tonight because we prefer our brother, our sister. I'm here tonight. If God wants to use me or minister in whatever way, I'm here. I'm available. To stir up this love, this unity, oneness with good works, helping one another, encouraging one another. We so need to ask God to help us to be sensitive to each other so that we can minister, pray, intercede. And not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. So we're not to forsake this, brothers and sisters. This is to be priority in our lives. Our coming together in unity and oneness. It is something that we want to put first. You know, there are many, many hindrances. The enemy tries to stop us from coming together. He tries to hinder our attendance. And I wonder why. Because he doesn't want us blessed. He doesn't want us hearing the word of God. He doesn't want us getting delivered and changed and conforming more and more into the likeness of Jesus. That's what he's fighting. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And the day is approaching fast. Let us look up, because our redemption draws near. The bride, she's making herself ready. And you are part of that. Let the Holy Spirit get you ready. Let him work through you, so that you will be ready when he comes and you won't be left behind. Because I'm reminded as I close now, the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. But remember with that parable, 10 are virgin, which speaks of new birth, born again. But 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. You have a free choice. Decide what you want to be. And if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, then everything within you, your confession says, Lord, whatever it takes, work in me that I may be that wise virgin, ready, waiting for your coming. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, you are such a great and mighty God. Oh, Father, we don't really understand yet fully how much you love us. How special we are, each of us, in your sight. How you care for us. How you watch us. We're never for a second out of your sight. Oh, Lord, forgive us that we can still be so blinded to this. But Lord, you are in your mercy opening our eyes. Father, it is such a privilege to be a part of this. It is such a privilege and joy to be with my brothers and sisters, and they with me, and each of us. Lord, only you can do this. Only you can build that true unity and oneness of spirit. And all because it's you, it's Jesus. It's because we see Jesus in our brother and sister, we recognize. We see the fruit of the Spirit as you're developing and working that in each of us. Lord, whatever we do, whether it's in deed or in word, let it always be done in the love of Christ to each of us. Because that is what stands. That is what lasts. That is what builds the body of Christ. And wherever is a need, let us be the first to be used. Start with me, Lord. That is always the heart and motive. Never looking to anybody else that they can do it. Here am I. I'm available. Use me. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we believe we've heard tonight what the Spirit is saying to the church. That you are building your body. You are restoring, bringing us back under your banner, your headship, under the covering of the blood of Jesus, that we may be spirit taught in these last days. For you have said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And our desire is, Lord, to follow you wherever you go. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You would have me. against all disaster. Let him in constancy follow the Master.
All lies down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.